The author Joyce Rupp with her husband Tom walked the Camino de Santiago when they were both in their early 60s. And she writes really beautifully about that journey and the spiritual things that she and her husband learned on that trip in her book called Walk in a Relaxed Manner. Joyce writes about how she, as a fiercely independent woman, had to learn to accept the help of strangers because you can't make it the 800 or so kilometers to Santiago without allowing yourself to be ministered to when you're injured or just plain worn out. Not only that, but Joyce and her husband had to learn not just to receive care, but to be kind to themselves. They had to learn how to slow down their pace to accommodate their arthritic joints. They had to learn to take more breaks, drink more water, take longer lunches, and even take entire rest days off of their walking as they rested at refugios or places of rest. We've been reflecting on the twists and turns of our own faith journey these past weeks of Lent, learning from Jesus as he made his pilgrimage to Jerusalem and the cross. And in today's gospel reading, we mark a turning in his journey. Jesus and his disciples are now only 6 days away from the Passover festival, and the cross is looming large. While I doubt that Jesus knew exactly what lay ahead, he could see the growing shadows, and he could recognize them for what they were. Jesus had been teaching his disciples all along that this was his calling, which was to offer his life as a gift for all. While I've had the deep privilege to journey with many dying people, I have not yet, thankfully myself, had to face my own imminent death. So I don't know what it's like to know that you are going to die soon. But I imagine that at moments it might feel lonely. I imagine at moments that it might feel hard in ways that are difficult to put into words. And I imagine that if ever a pilgrim needed kindness and comfort from strangers on the road, it would be for a time like this. But of course, the people from whom Jesus received comfort and kindness, they weren't strangers, were they? The friendship between Jesus and Mary and Martha has always intrigued me. Yes, they were Jesus' disciples, just like the others. But they were more than that, weren't they? John tells us that they were Jesus' dear friends. They were his friends who also lived in Judea, and that actually had become a really risky place for Jesus to show his face. Jesus had a lot of enemies in Judea. In fact, a chapter earlier, we learn that things had gotten so tense for Jesus there that he actually had to go into hiding, and he had to leave Bethany. He and his disciples, he had to stop his public ministry for a time. In chapter 11, John tells us that Jesus and his disciples went away to a town called Ephraim near the desert. It was about as far away as you could get from Jerusalem and still stay in Palestine. And Jesus stayed there with his disciples until the Passover neared, and he had to make that final trip into Jerusalem. Now, some would say that stopping at Lazarus' house in Bethany was just a matter of practicality. You know, Bethany was kind of like the suburbs of Jerusalem, and there wouldn't have been a lot of places to stay in Jerusalem around the time of the Passover, because Jews and God-fearers from all around the empire would have been descending on the town. But I suspect it was more than that. I think that Jesus knew that he needed people who were dearest to him, his nearest friends, to shore up his resources for what was ahead. I think that Jesus extended a little kindness to himself by letting him drink in the love and caring of his friends before he drank the cup of suffering and death. Because remember that there was a cost to Lazarus and his sisters hosting Jesus. You know, of course, as far as the religious leaders were concerned, it was Jesus who was the problem. But Jesus' return to Bethany created a sensation. It reignited all the rumors that were circulating about Lazarus, how he had been dead, but that Jesus had called him out from the tomb, putrid and smelly. And now this same Lazarus is serving Jesus a dinner party in his home. And John tells us that the religious leaders were so fed up with all of this excitement that they said, Lazarus needs to go too. So coming to Lazarus' home right then, in that political climate, was a big deal. Throwing Jesus a dinner party was not just the small matter of the work of getting the food prepared, inviting people over. It was a risky act of love. And Jesus let his friends take that risk. He allowed himself to be ministered to. The family had prepared dinner for Jesus, we're told. Martha served, of course. Lazarus sat with Jesus and the other guests, and it was a time for fellowship and eating. People who loved Jesus, who had received so much from him in their time with him, so much love and care, finally had a chance to care for Jesus' physical and emotional needs, and even his spiritual ones, I think. Because remember that Mary came, and in a prophetic act of devotion, she poured nard over Jesus' feet, which is what you do for dead men when you are embalming them for the tomb. And really, it was awkward. It was so awkward because she wiped his feet with her hair, which was scandalous, of course. And frankly, a part of me was like, why did she do that? She didn't need to wipe his feet with her hair. But notice that Jesus didn't nitpick, did he? He didn't squirm. He didn't, you know, say, well, it would have been great, but maybe could you have just got a towel? He accepted her gift as the act of love and devotion that it was. And whenever I read this passage, I sort of think of what he did is in the same line when I receive a back rub from my children. You know, is their back rub really going to heal the spasms in my aching back? No! But the spidery touch of their icy cold fingers against my skin. No, it's an act that really does comfort. It does. It comforts me. It doesn't take away the pain. But in the midst of my pain, it reminds me of something deeply good and of this sweet child who loves me. And my accepting their awkward and frankly ineffectual gesture of love allows for something deeper to happen between us, right? Most commentators focus on the prophetic nature of Mary's act. But I can't help think about it as an act of comfort. I wonder what comfort it brought to Jesus at that moment when maybe he was feeling a little lonely. And maybe it was hard. I wonder if Jesus received Mary's act not just as an act of love and devotion from a disciple, but maybe he even received it as a gift from his heavenly Father to prepare him for what was ahead. That even if no one else knew, even if no one else understood what Jesus was feeling and what Jesus was facing, God knew. His Heavenly Father knew. And in this tender anointing from a woman, perhaps there was this double gift from a woman who surely did not understand the full significance of what she was doing. So when Judas stepped forward and he spoke against Mary, saying, you know, it was extravagant, she should have given it to the poor, it was a waste, Jesus said, "Don't stop Mary. It was right for her to save this perfume for today, the day for me to be prepared for my burial. You will always have those who are poor with you, but you will not always have me." Jesus once said that the greatest commandment is this: to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. And the second is like unto it: to love your neighbor as yourself. Part of that command is about also learning to love yourself. Not all of us, but some of us, I think, struggle to let people love us as their neighbor, struggle to receive care from others, struggle to receive love as though we are unworthy, as though it is not right. But I think Jesus modeled for us kindness towards himself that we too need to remember if we are to learn faithfully how to live in this world. Sometimes, if we're going to stay faithful to God in our journey, we need to seek out places and times of rest. There are times where what we need most is to surround ourselves with Christians who know us and love us and will feed us a meal and laugh with us and even wipe our tears. We need to learn, like Jesus, about the importance of the exchange of love, that love going both ways is not only all right, it's actually healthy. We need to learn to say, yes, thank you for the party, yes, thank you for this kindness, even when the kindness is a little awkward and imperfectly given. We need to learn, like Jesus, that there is not only a time to serve, but also a time to be served. There is a time not just to go, 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 but to wait a while and pray. There is a time when maybe the right thing to do is not to be saving the whole world, but to be sitting down and enjoying a meal with your friends. We are marking a turn in our own spiritual pilgrimage this Sunday in Lent. Thus far during this season, we've taken on special spiritual disciplines of our own choosing, and we've been carrying around rocks as a reminder of those. We've reflected on what it means to have Jesus as our companion with us on our spiritual journey. But next Sunday, Palm Sunday, and all through Holy Week, our focus shifts singularly to Jesus and his journey. Holy Week becomes for us a time not just to minister to Jesus, but to shower upon Jesus acts of devotion, awkward though they may be, as an expression of our love for him. As we get ready to shift gears, I invite you in prayer, I'm going to invite us into a time of prayer, to imagine yourself kneeling at the feet of Jesus and offering to Jesus the spiritual disciplines you took on. Maybe a few of them are a little tattered, a little awkward, some 6 weeks in. And I want you to imagine yourself like Mary, offering them as your act of love and devotion to Jesus. And just like Jesus received Mary's devotion, I want you to imagine Jesus gladly receiving your act of love to him. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Loving Lord God, loving Lord Jesus, we've remembered today that meal that you shared at Lazarus's house just before your final journey to Jerusalem to face the cross and your time of suffering. And we are so grateful to Mary for her act of love so extravagantly offered to you. We're thankful for your friend Lazarus, for his courage in inviting you into his home and offering you a meal and friendship when you perhaps needed it badly. So we thank you for all the people who loved you and cared for you while you were alive. Loving Lord Jesus, as we kneel at your feet, like Mary, we want to offer you our love and our ministry to you. And we pray that you would accept our acts of devotion as pure nard poured out on your feet. We pray all these things with great love. In your name. Amen.